Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. I'm alive. Several of you have been getting in touch saying, golly, you sound sick on the radio. Yes, since Sunday. What a battle. My goodness. Losing your voice. You come to realize, I know a pastor in Pontiac, Michigan, years ago, he lost his voice for an entire year. I mean, this is life. Preaching, teaching, counseling, talking on the radio. You don't miss the water till the well goes dry. Thank God every day for where you are. He loves you. He's got you right where he wants you today. Make sure you're being obedient. It's the very best way to show that you're a believer, and people watch you to see what's going on. Oh, God is so good all the time. Thank you for being there on Hello World every day, for praying for us. I love your comments and, my goodness, cards, letters, text, all that stuff. It's such an encouragement to me. Again, thank you just for being there. What in the world is going on? Today's version of Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, Guess Who? Testifying yesterday before the Senate, a prominent health scientist charged that Dr. Anthony Fauci and other federal health officials have repeatedly lied to Congress about the government's funding of gain-of-function research in China, which is believed by many experts to be the origin, absolutely, of the pandemic. Dr. Richard Enbright, a professor of molecular biology at Rutgers, said in statements made on repeated occasions to the public, to the press, and to the policymakers, Dr. Fauci has not been telling us the truth. I do not understand why those statements are being made, because they are demonstrably false, said the doctor. Well, we knew that all along, didn't we? Liar, liar. Well, what do you think this is all about? The office of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis set to make a major announcement, they say, today. Taking to Twitter last night, DeSantis' press secretary teased the impact of that announcement and said it's going to cause the liberal media meltdown of the year. A major announcement today from Governor DeSantis. Prepare for the liberal media meltdown. Everyone, get some rest. Some people immediately began speculating now. Is this it? The announcement? Running for president in 2024? This guy is really well-liked. We'll see. Boy, without question, China is hot. They claimed its military successfully executed a precision missile strike in the Taiwan Strait yesterday. That's a day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi left the island. Wonder why they didn't shoot it while she was there. China repeatedly condemned Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, which China claims as its own territory, and threatened to take real action, military action. On her final day in Taiwan, China's Navy and Air Force began conducting military exercises in six zones surrounding Taiwan, with some overlapping Taiwan territorial waters involved. The U.S. responded by deploying several warships to the area. Oh, this doesn't sound good at all, does it? So everyone's still trying to figure out this political thing. How strong is Donald Trump? How many are going to leave him? Is he as strong as he was before? Well, Trump-backed candidates won key Republican primaries in Arizona, Michigan, Kansas. To say he has no real influence anymore is insane. In Arizona, as Election Day votes were counted, former TV news journalist Carrie Lake came roaring back to take the lead from Mike Pence-backed candidate Karen Taylor Robinson in the gubernatorial primary. Lake, who believes Trump won Arizona in 2020, says she would not have certified the election results, was 10 points down Monday night as mail-in ballots were counted, but she's been winning more than 70% of the vote. With nearly 80% of the vote counted, Lake leads. She told Steve Bannon in a War Room interview Wednesday that she expects the lead to increase and that she's going to be the candidate for governor. Trump-backed governor. What are the voters saying nationwide? President Biden has gone to great lengths to deflect blame for the economy including redefining the term recession. Yeah, he's done that. Nevertheless, a majority of likely voters place the blame squarely on the president of the Democrats. According to a new Rasmussen poll, the respondents were asked if they agreed with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's statement. Democrats inherited an economy that was prime for a historic comeback and promptly ran the thing right into the ground. Over 59% of the 1,000 likely voters surveyed agreed with McConnell's statement. 35% disagreed. Those people were nuts. Biden and his administration have insisted the country is not, idiots, not in a recession, despite two consecutive quarters of negative growth, which is, well, that's the accepted definition of recession. Our poll found, they say, 62% believe the economy is in a recession. Yep. And looking ahead to 2022, 91% overall see the economy and inflation as the real issues. What's going on here? A Florida sheriff speaking out after a 10-year-old. Get it? 10-year-old was arrested for threatening a mass shooting at his school just days after 19 children, two teachers were killed in the Uvalde massacre. Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marceno said Tuesday, warned, actually, parents are afraid to discipline their kids for fear of being reported. When I was growing up, the nun hit you with a ruler, a wooden ruler, said the sheriff. You understood what was right and what was wrong. And today, what in the world do we do? Society says, well, if your parent disciplines you and there's any kind of abuse, come forward so we can report that parent. Yeah, this is so far away from the right way to do it. Don't touch the kid. That's insane. Blueness of the wound. We found out with our five grandchildren we're guardians of right now. Do not touch. Don't even threaten the kids or they're gone. So says the state of Indiana. I'm sure that's pretty much it across the board. Isn't that sad? No wonder. It's insane. New York City Mayor Eric Adams and the police department heads slammed the state's bail reform laws as insane and dangerous amid an increase in arrests and a series of high-profile attacks on law enforcement and the public. New York Police Department, the commissioner, joined the mayor and other New York Police Department officials for a press conference yesterday at the headquarters. They spoke on the challenges we're facing in New York City every day. Well, that's across America. Go to Chicago. You know, they say, this is the mayor, they say the definition of insanity is to do the same thing repeatedly, but expecting different results. Well, yeah. This is about recidivists who cause New Yorkers to suffer needlessly every day as hardworking New Yorkers start their day or night of work or school or simply trying to enjoy New York City and what it has to offer. These criminals are planning on taking the opportunity to commit their next larceny, their next robbery, burglary, or other crime. Their efforts are increasingly aided by the fact that after the New York Police Department has arrested them, the criminal justice system fails to hold them appropriately accountable for their actions. I wonder what political group has caused this problem in America. Where's my gun? These offenders face very few, if any, repercussions, despite committing crime after crime after crime. Just bizarre. Dateline Boston. Boston, of all places, absolutely. It took years. Years with the Christian flag flying today, sponsored by Camp Constitution. It has flown over the Boston City Hall Plaza on a flagpole that the city created and used as a public forum. It took a rare 9-0 ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court to make that happen. The city had censored the Christian flag, even though its policy and practice was to allow anyone to fly a flag at the site for any special event. Camp Constitution requested permission to fly a Christian flag for its event and denied. According to Liberty Council, which provides a video of the event, the city policy stated that the flagpole was open to all people. But the city of Boston denied the application to briefly raise the flag during an event for Constitution Week. The sole reason for the denial was the application form referred to the flag as a Christian flag for A Christian flag, for pity's sakes. We can't have that. What a bunch of morons. Demonic led. God grief, Charlie Brown. Health news, all kinds of implications on this one. New research confounding conventional wisdom about life and about death, really? Researchers at Yale used a new technology to restore cells in some organs of pigs that had died, bringing the animal cell back to life. The findings, which were published Wednesday in the scientific journal Nature, raises profound ethical questions about how medicine will define death, but also teases new possibilities for the collection of human organs for transplant. My eyes went wide open, said Brendan Parent, an assistant professor of bioethics at New York University. He's saying about the moment he first read these findings, my brain just went in all kinds of directions. Where could we go with this 20 and 30 years from now? Parent was not involved, but was asked by Nature to write a commentary. The research is still in the early experimental phase and many years from potential use in human beings. It could ultimately help to extend the lives of people whose hearts have stopped beating or suffered a stroke. The technology also shows potential to drastically shift how organs are collected for transplant and increase their availability to patients who have a need. Interesting. And finally, from our Did You Know department, former President Barack Obama, going to be 60 today. Obama was inaugurated when he was 47. Only four presidents, Roosevelt, Kennedy, Clinton, and Grant, were younger when they were inaugurated. The average age of a president at inauguration, know what that is? 55. Barack Obama is younger now than his Vice President Joe Biden was when Obama was first inaugurated. Biden, who is 78 and acts like he's 178, is the oldest person to become president. He's having trouble finding his way to the bathroom, they say. Sure. You really think this guy's going to run? Oh, never mind. Hey, he did it yesterday. Alex Jones, known by many out there, the conspiracy theorist, he acknowledged that the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School was 100% real. Up to this point, he said it was all fake. It's part of his defamation trial over his stories about the shooting being an absolute hoax. You just don't know who to believe, right? Well, how about this? The coffee shops, do they sell more hot coffee or more cold iced coffee? Starbucks, for example, said that cold drinks accounted for 75% of their sales. I wouldn't have guessed that. And I was reading yesterday how many children, most children ever born to one woman in the world, happened in the 1700s. One woman, 69 children. Proof, yeah. It's fact. How in the world? 69 kids. Okay. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Well, we here at Hello World have some great friends out there. Heard yesterday from John and Lois Jenkins. Gave me a fantastic message with the loss of my son, Ben. Such an encouragement. And, well, I just want to say thank you. God bless you folks. So many of you out there. Text, cards, letters, finances. You've just been extremely kind, loving, generous to this radio commentator. Thank you for supporting Hello World and Greg Patton Ministries. I'm looking forward to meeting again some of you coming up here in September for the fall fundraiser at WHCB. Going to be a great time. Let me ask you today, have you felt lonely recently? When was the last time? In the Bible, we read about David, who was on the run. This man of God left his family, his friends, in an effort to escape King Saul and what appeared to be sure death for him. Here he is, miles from home. A handful of acquaintances caught up with him, and others gathered around. So there were familiar faces in the group, but he didn't know most of the people there. They had the reputation of being outsiders, outcasts, men who were discontent in so many ways, according to 1 Samuel 22. Their presence may have softened the emotional blows that come from being in exile and being a renegade, but it did little to stave off the feelings of loneliness that were gathering in David's heart. I think we all get there now and then. Hiding out in a cave at Adullam, he tried to make sense out of all that had happened over the prior months and weeks. When word reached King Saul of his location, the ruler got in red-hot pursuit, seeking to hunt him down and to kill him. David knew his situation wasn't going to change quickly. Saul's quest continued for months and then for years, can you imagine? Leading to an even greater potential for loneliness and anxiety to build up in the mind and heart. But we read in the Psalms that David did not succumb to the enemy's snare. Satan did not win, and it's important to realize Satan is at the forefront. He loves to entice you to feel unloved and unwanted and unfit, as if no one really cares about you. Satan's goal is to prevent you from being what God wants you to be. Don't ever forget that. And it's important in this very topic of loneliness that we talk about it. Years before Saul even thought about taking up any weapons against him, David had learned several life-changing truths concerning loneliness in the world today. As a young man, he had taken care of his dad's sheep, and while he may occasionally have encountered other herdsmen, he was alone a great deal of the time. I doubt, however, that he would have said that he was lonely, because David was keenly aware of being in the presence of Almighty God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the truth. All of this would change the way he would deal with adversity and feelings of loneliness later in life. In the 55th Psalm, he wrote, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." You know, loneliness is a painful emotion. Those who experience this feeling know how deeply it can attack your self-esteem. Therefore, you should never ignore any time your sense of isolation intensifies in your life. There's going to be inescapable moments when you feel lonely. But likewise, there are going to be occasions when we enjoy being on our own, being alone. Other times, we may be in a room full of people, you've heard this one, and yet experience an acute sense of being isolated and alone. Loneliness is not contingent upon the company we keep, right? Or our social standing, or the money that we make, the home, the car you drive. Some of the richest people in the world are the loneliest people. Some of the poorest are among the happiest. David was the anointed king of Israel, but this did not prevent him from battling a profound sense of loneliness. He had to learn how to deal ruthlessly with those feelings, and we need to do the same today. Loneliness is a gateway to other negative emotions and giving ground to the enemy. If you don't deal with it, you could end up also battling feelings of bitterness and anger and even frustration. Each one of these has some very serious consequences for the Christian. Denial is not an option. Telling others I'm not lonely when you're falling apart on the inside is no good. All this does is mask whatever that problem is. If left unaddressed, loneliness is going to sap your energy, going to divide your mind, and prevent you from enjoying the goodness of Almighty God. It's one of Satan's primary weapons for discouraging you. He loves to do it. His goal is to prevent you from being what God has created you to be. Our advice today to believers listening, struggling in this very area, loneliness, don't believe a single word by the enemy. Jesus made it very clear. Satan is a liar. There's no truth in him. He's the father of lies. John 8:44. How do you recognize him and his deceitful message? Ask God to give you a discerning heart. Make sure your life is free of all known sin. Forgiveness will purify your emotions. It positions you to hear God's voice and understand his truth, spoken to us over the clamor and the clutter of Satan's negative input. And you also need to tap into these truths. The Heavenly Father, God, loves you with an everlasting love. He's promised he will never leave you, Jeremiah 31:3, Hebrews 13:5. This means, my friend, you're never alone. When you drive to the grocery store, he's with you. When you're there on the job, alone, he's with you, right beside you. He's aware of every problem you face. He has the solution for everything. He knows the difficulties. He knows the obstacles. He knows the route you need to take. David set the focus of his heart on the Lord and not on circumstances, and that's a major key. Set your heart on the Lord, not on your circumstances. When you let go of your burden and allow Christ to work in your heart, you're going to notice a huge difference in the way you approach life overall. You won't be battered by feelings of being alone. Oh no, instead you're going to be able to say, as David did, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That's Psalm 23:4. Jesus Christ today is your good shepherd. You don't need to doubt his infinite love and personal care. He's proven his love for you. We should never forget that God created us for fellowship. Sure he did. This was a part of the original plan. He desires our friendship, our love, our worship, my friend. But we're often afraid to open up our hearts to him, aren't we? And we transfer this same hesitation to other people and relationships. We meet new people, but instead of spending time getting to know them, we derail potential friendships by projecting a message like, "Don't get too close, stay where you are, I don't want to be bothered." We pay a serious price for our reclusiveness. Doctor's offices are full of people who are hurting emotionally and don't understand why they're lonely. They've shut God out, closed the door on his fellowship, and dismissed their need for others. But David, even though his heart was breaking at times, he refused to fall into this pattern. You know, loneliness is not a sin, but sin can certainly ignite the feeling. One young woman who was involved in an immoral relationship with a non-believer admitted that she often felt alone. Her actions had constructed a barrier between her and God, and it was difficult for her to pray and spend time alone with him in worship. She stopped going to church, and though her boyfriend was with her, her sense of loneliness just increased. Feelings of guilt and shame isolated her from family and friends. It wasn't until she realized how far off track her life was that she decided to make a significant change by asking God to forgive her and to restore her. Boy, that's the way to do it. If you're suffering in sin today, don't ignore that situation. God wants you free from bondage. But for this to happen, you've got to be willing to confess what you've done is wrong. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let me close with this. How do I do it? How do I overcome loneliness? One sure way: through fellowship with Jesus Christ and time spent in the Bible. The Lord overcame the enemy's temptations by using the Word of God as his sure defense. You and I got to do it. Not only will you defeat loneliness, you'll also lay a foundation of unshakable hope within your life, and nothing can destroy that. This is exactly what David did as a young man. And years later, when adversity and loneliness struck, he proclaimed, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Amen. Psalm 16:11. Well, that's really good stuff. And finally, I've been feeling better in the last 24 hours. Thank you very much. I thought I'd even do a little exercise. I got a question here. When you do squats, are your knees supposed to sound like a goat chewing on aluminum can stuffed with some celery? I'm asking for a friend. Oh, and one more thing. I went out into the garden today, and everybody can appreciate this. Yeah, give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach him how to do gardening, and the whole neighborhood gets a batch of zucchini. I got it everywhere. What do you do with these things? I've done the soup. I've done the bread. Oh, my. You've been listening to Hello World News, information, and comment every day at this time. Thank you for your prayers and telling others about the broadcast. You want to hear last year, 2 years ago, three? GregPatton.com. Same as you join me on Facebook. Till tomorrow, God bless. Have a great day.